The founders of America said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." But what happens if you remove belief in the Creator? What happens if you believe that man is basically just the product of time and chance and natural forces that ultimately resulted in humanity? As Rabbi Daniel Lappin, who doesn't believe in evolution, once said, "Wow, how do you go from the primordial slime to Bach and Beethoven? How does that work?" Well, we're going to talk right now with Tom DeRosa of Creation Studies Institute, and he works with this organization. In fact, he founded it for Dr. D. James Kennedy, and he has written a book called Evolution's Fatal Fruit. It's one thing to just talk about the ideas of evolution, but sometimes those ideas can actually have fatal consequences. We'll explain how, or have Tom explain how, in this particular segment. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Yes, it's a great privilege to be here with you, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, so ideas have consequences. Let's get right to it. In your book, Evolution's Fatal Fruit, one of the things you talk about is the link, the not-so-missing link between Darwinism and Adolf Hitler. Tell us about that.
When you look at Darwin talks about natural selection. That was his key mechanism for evolution, the fact that from inert things we get man, and he believed that nature would be the causing factor. Now, what's interesting is natural selection deals with the stronger shall survive and the weakest shall not survive. So taking that kind of motif or that idea and bringing it up to the fact that, well, what was Nazi Germany? What was that about? Well, they were about a master race. And the master race was what? Well, they were superior. They were the strongest, and they would take over. And the weaker, well, we have to exterminate them. We need to get rid of them. And so they pinned the Jews as being not so much physically being weak, but that they were corrupt, and they just used them as a scapegoat. And so 6 million plus have been put to death because of this kind of belief, plus 5 million others who they figured were not the strongest. They were part of the weak. And so what's interesting is that Hitler believed in this. He really believed in this. If you read the Mein Kampf, which was his autobiography, he wrote it in 1924-25 while he was in prison. It tells you the soul of Hitler, who he was. And he just believed in the purity of racial blood and that it needed to be graduated and human beings need to preserve it. And the Aryan race, the master race, was the way in which we were to become. And that was his goal. And so the idea was to get rid of the weak. So when people were brought in, these trains, they would put the Jews on the trains, they would number them and they would put them on the trains and they would deliver them to where they were at the camps. The doctors there were trained, by the way, with the United States doctors many years prior to that. Not too many years, but prior to that they were trained. They would do selection and they would say, well, which one is strong and which one is weak? And if they were weak or they were not any good, they would move them to the one side, and the ones that were strong, they would work them in work camps. The ones that they chose, they call it selection, just like natural selection, Darwinian evolution selection, they put them to the place where they would go to the gas chambers and die, as we know, a very bad death.
Explain who Ernst Haeckel was, who lived long before all these things, you know, came to full fruition, but in many ways he helped, pave the way for what happened in the Holocaust with the 6 million Jews, and by the way, 6 to 11 million Gentiles, including Gypsies and Slavs. We don't even know the exact number. It's amazing.
We don't even know the number of Jews. That's another story. I think there were a lot more. It could have been up to 20 million. Who knows? But getting back to the Haeckel, Haeckel was Darwin's European apostle. He loved Darwin's work.
And by the way, let me just interrupt you real fast. I just want, for anybody who wants to look all this stuff up, Ernst E-R-N-S-T, Haeckel, H-A-E-C-K-E-L, just so you know what we're talking about. Oh, but go ahead and talk about this guy, and I understand he died in 1916.
Yeah, he actually, I think it was, well, anyway, he died in that period, and what happened was he was very much involved with Darwinian evolution. He was young when Darwin published his book, Origin of Species, in 1859. He was a young doctor. He didn't know where he was going, and so he decided to become a medical doctor. And in taking and being, you know, going through the coursework, he read Darwin's theory of evolution, Origin of Species, and then became his focal point. Everything he did was based on Darwinian evolution. And so all through his studies, he was able to take Darwin's ideas, and he was an artist, and he could draw these magnificent pictures, and that's what got him in trouble, Jerry, because these pictures were fraudulent. Many of them were fraudulent. They depicted things that were not true, including the embryos, the famous embryos that he said that, you know, evolution took place inside the womb. That's what Haeckel believed. And he fraudulently made these images that looked like embryos. He made them look like the same, proving his idea of evolution, which was totally wrong.
So, for example, he would have a drawing of what was supposed to be a fish in the embryo, and then also next to it what was supposed to be a human baby in the embryo. And at certain points, they both look like they're the same, and the idea, again, was to just reinforce evolution. And by the way, I was incorrect. He died in 1919, but I was close.
Yeah, that was pretty close. The embryo, when through this development, has a tail, so the idea, and it's totally wrong. The idea was everybody has a tail. You know, somewhere along the line we have a tail. Humans lost the tail. So that's where he was getting his kind of evolution, through the womb. And so, yeah, so these diagrams of different kinds of species, he would make them look similar at a certain stage, which was totally wrong. They were very different. He was exposed. A lot of his drawings were also exposed and were wrong in the University of Jena, where he taught. After he passed away, six professors said that he was fraudulent. He was a liar, and so his reputation was ruined.
And here's the guy that was the main apostle of Darwinianism. But how did promoting Darwinianism, you know, ultimately culminate in Hitler on the part of, you know, of Haeckel's promotion of Darwin?
Well, if you go to Hitler, you'll see that at the Monsieur Venanzi Pact, they met because they had a problem. I'm talking about Hitler's Nazis. They had a problem, and the problem was, what are they going to do with all these Jews? Because they put them in ghettos, but they had to do something. I mean, there were millions of them. I mean, when they were moving out and taking other nations, Czechoslovakia and others, there were Jews. And so there were lots of Jews. So they said, well, we'll move them east. We'll keep moving them east. But then they realized that there was a real problem. Well, I mean, how do you handle this? So Haeckel was the one that introduced, hey, you can use gas. And so they brought that up at the Wannsee Conference.
Now, wait, he obviously must have said that much earlier in time, because he died again in 1919.
Right, right. Haeckel was their man. I mean, he was a German. He was the European apostle. So they knew.
Okay, so in other words, here's the European apostle of Darwin, who said that that some human beings, or we may think of them as human beings, but they're really subspecies, and ultimately some of them should be killed through poison. Is that right?
Right, through poison gas, quickly. Because they didn't, the German soldiers, many of them didn't want to just shoot people. Innocent people. So it's a lot easier to put them in a gas chamber and gas them. I mean, that's how they thought. And that was discussed. And evolution was brought right in the discussion. Haeckel was brought in. Natural selection was brought in. You could see the minutes of that meeting. And you could see very clearly that Darwinian evolution was very much part of their thinking.
Okay, you're talking about the Wannsee Conference. As I understand it, that word is spelled W-A-N-S-E-E. That's a place. That conference was what, in 1942, I believe?
Yeah, I think that was at 42, 41.
It's kind of the final solution type conference.
Right. That was the final solution. That's titled the final solution.
Yeah, so that's 1942. Okay, so basically, again, the evolution point is what is really important here. And by the way, Darwin, I mean, this is so documented so well in a very difficult book to read, but very important. And it's called From Darwin to Hitler, and that's by Dr. Richard Weikart, a professor of history. And what else do you want to say about this whole important topic?
Well, I just think that when you have a bad theory, a theory that is degenerate, basically Darwin's theory of natural selection, the fact that man is part of nature, man is a natural cause of nature, was totally wrong. And because of this bad idea, it was an evil idea that brought death to millions. And that's what I emphasize in my book. And that's what I think everybody should see.
Do you go beyond not only just the Nazis, but other areas in which evolution has proved to be fatal?
You can go on and you can find out that the human being has to be, for him to live in a material world, let's say communism, for instance. Communism is very materialistic. There is no mention of God, of course. God is thrown out. They don't like religious people. And so one of the things that I know Stalin preached is that I'll show you a book that will get rid of God, and that's our Darwin's book of The Origin of Species. So they really believed, communism believed in the fact that we were nothing but animals and that they could get rid of the misfits too. They can starve them, which Stalin did and many others followed. They starved many of the people out. I mean, we talk about 11 million, 20 million in Germany. That communism, particularly in Stalin's era, we can go into the 80 million or so. I don't know. I could be. That's kind of a number we're not sure of, but it is significant. It was much larger than the German Holocaust. So we need to be aware that evolution by its own right, because it's used as science. See, everybody thinks science is right. Science is that we live by science, but science is made by man. Science has its limits, always has its limits, and always should be checked. And therefore, we need to know that it's a human invention, and human inventions can error. So we need to always question it, especially when it goes against the word of God.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, obviously, America's founders weren't perfect. We have about a minute left, by the way. America's founders weren't perfect. We got some things wrong. But in the big picture of things, I think the founders got things right by basically, adopting a Christian view of man that we're made by God and therefore we have value. 1 minute left.
I think it's so important. I think that's essential. We're creating God's image. We're created all equal. And I think if you're saying one important concept of all, that's the most important one that keeps us together as a nation.
Okay, Tom, thank you so much and appreciate all your research. And what is the website? Where can people get information?
CreationStudies.org, www.creationstudies.org.
Okay, and the name of your book is Evolution's Fatal Fruit. Originally it was called what? Darwin's Deadly...
Well, that was the film we did, but I kept the title the same, Evolution's Fatal Fruit, How Darwin's Tree of Life Brought Death to Millions.
Right, and Dr. D. James Kennedy, back when he was alive, he actually wrote the foreword for that book. And again, Creation Studies is an outgrowth, really, of Dr. D. James Kennedy's ministries. So thank you, Tom DeRosa. Keep up all the great work.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry.